The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse.
Glory to you, Lord.
Matthew writes, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them all. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today we're still in a season called Epiphany. Epiphany is a season of light. Now, most of us who grew up with the church calendar kind of just go past Epiphany, right? You have Christmas, and now we're all waiting for Fat Tuesday, you know, we get started Lent. Christmas and Lent and then Easter. What's this thing about Epiphany anyway? Well, Epiphany, as you know, means light. Light. And by the way, Epiphany is really one of the oldest seasons in the church calendar. It goes back to the 2nd, 3rd century. But what's up with that? Why do we kind of just jump past Epiphany? I mean, we're here today, Sunday, and we know what Sunday is an Epiphany, but come on. Most of us just think of the Magi, you know? Those guys came sometime after Jesus' birth, and they came to adore and worship and honor this King of Kings and Lord of Lords that they saw in the lights of the night sky, and the stars of the sky proclaimed that a king was born. Not only a king, but the king above all kings. And so they traveled from the far east somewhere, coming into this place called the Middle East, or the Levant, to find this King of Kings. And that's kind of our understanding of Epiphany, that a light shines somewhere and these guys saw it up in the night sky and they brought gifts. They honored and worshiped this young child, Jesus, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But so what's up with Epiphany? And then today I was thinking, man, I wish Jesus would have called lamp merchants instead of fishermen. It would have been a little easier to tie their sins with light, huh? But he didn't. He called fishermen. That's what he called. Well, maybe we get some clues there about Epiphany, huh? So you look at your text, right? Look at that text in there from Matthew. And you see Matthew records some things. Now, leading up to this, you had the baptism of Jesus. And he's out in the wilderness being tested by the devil, right? out there on his own. And now he comes and calls his disciples. And so he called a great theologian, a couple rabbis, and a great orator. Nope. He called Simon, Peter, and Andrew, his brother. Fishermen. Then he called John and James. Fishermen. You would think he would have made a different selection. But there's two things here at the beginning of this text that we see. One is that Jesus calls from this vocation of fishing. I think it's a pretty common vocation of the day. Was it unusual for men to be fishermen? They harvested fish from the sea and sold them for their family's livelihood, right? To sustain their families. But also connected with that, or we'll say juxtaposed with that text, is, and Jesus began to preach a message of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. You better believe the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He was bringing it with him with signs and wonders that no one could deny. No right person could deny that there was something very different and special going on, not only with this person, but with the activities surrounding him. And what is this connection now with Epiphany? We read in Isaiah that the world is in a state of persistent darkness. It isn't simply that the lights went out somewhere and we've repaired them and now the problem's solved. The world and the people of the world live in a persistent darkness. It's among us even today. It continues today. Darkness in this world and in the hearts of men and women it's a persistent condition. It's a persistent environment. It doesn't go away at the blink of an eye and problem solved. And I think that our church, and I'll talk about our own church, our Missouri Synod, has somehow forgotten that darkness is a persistent environment. Listen, there's an organization called the Pew Organization, right? They do polls all over. Well, they do religious polls. And they do something called the Religious Landscape of America. Now, here's what we're finding out in this great country of ours. That there is a loss among Christian churches, our own included, to the darkness of the world. They call these people the nuns. N-O-N-E-S. The nuns. And what Pew has tells us through his research and polling, that the Christian church in America is losing 4 people to the darkness for every 1 they gain. 4 losses for every 1 we gain. They have drifted from light into darkness. How can this happen? We underestimate our ancient foe. We think somehow that because there are churches on every corner, there are preachers on the radio and on the television, that somehow problem is solved. There's no more darkness. Why do I have to worry about the darkness? But I told you as I started, darkness is a persistent condition in our world, and in our communities and in the hearts of men and women, even ours. It is a relentless kind of darkness. It doesn't go away. And it's no respecter of generations. Going back to the nuns. The greatest group of people leaving the church are who? The young people. Our young people. They are leaving. Now they say they haven't abandoned religion, quote unquote. But they are frustrated or dissatisfied with organized religion, whatever that means. I'm not sure. But the onus is on each and every one of us here to realize that darkness is a persistent condition, a persistent environment. And that unless light remains, darkness enters. You see? It isn't a passive environment in which we live. Darkness is active and relentless. Where light goes away, darkness is there. It doesn't just leave. And it's an intense darkness. We often think about light as being intense, right? But I have been in the Luray Caverns, not far from here, you know, and other caves in Missouri, and to go somewhere where there's an absolute absence of light, I would say the darkness is intense. It's intense. And it is a frightful thing. It's a disorienting thing, this darkness that persists. And I would say that to live in absolute intense darkness would drive anyone stark, raving mad. I can't imagine living in that kind of environment. Any of you who have tried to walk in the woods at night without a flashlight or any kind of other light but just the stars, you know how frustrating it could be without a moon. It can be terrible. You trip, you fall, you get lost, you don't know what east is from west, where's home, where's... It's just difficult. So it is spiritually. Our text tells us, Jesus carefully, I think Matthew rather, records the actions of Jesus for our purposes today. First, where did Jesus go? He went to Capernaum, up by the Sea of Galilee. And it just so happens, you see, there's no coincidence, that's a major thoroughfare, Roman road. It's like an interstate highway that went through there. Furthermore, he talks about who the people were, where they were from, right? They came to follow him. Let's see. Let's take a look at those places again. They're all where Jews live. Wrong. Yes, some were Jewish people. The people of promise, as we say. The rest, Gentiles, you and me. Jesus goes there, and he calls fishermen. And he says, you're going to be fishers of men. And he drops them in this place, or he's in this place, Capernaum, and he has Jews and Gentiles alike, right there. And he says, you're going to be fishers of men. Did he say Jewish men? No. All people. All walks of life. You are to cast your nets out into the sea. Preach the gospel to all the nations. Preach the gospel to all the nations, beginning right here in Capernaum. He didn't say, let's go down to Jerusalem and find a perfect environment and preach there. He said to all people, look at the places at the end of the text we read today for the gospel. They are hardly all Jewish places. He says, who are we going to reach out to? All people. And it's going to go to all the ends of the earth. And it even says at the end, even into Syria. Wow. This is remarkable. And all of that gospel will be carried off to what we know as Turkey and down in Egypt. That's where this message is going to spread. And it did. It obviously came back effective for him. For people brought onto him all these people who were demon-possessed, who were at the time they said they're epileptics. We don't know from the Greek if that's exactly what it was, but those who had suffered from all kinds of diseases came. And as signs and wonders followed Jesus, he healed them, stating that the kingdom of God was at hand. And he said, as I said earlier, he places in the midst of this text, or Matthew does, that Jesus began to preach repentance, as John did. When light comes into darkness, it shows the ugliness of sin and the reality of what we live in this world. In our own lives, light comes into our hearts and shows us our own sinfulness, but also into our world at large, generally speaking. The light comes in and shows that we live in a treacherous place, where our ancient foe works to destroy your lives. And by that I mean, he may make you rich and wealthy, but to destroy you spiritually. Condemnation and hell. Death. And that's what the light shows, that there is death at the end of this path, this worldly path. Death. And repentance simply means turn away from that. And Jesus himself is the embodiment of the message of hope and grace. That in him, and through him, and by him, and in him, is the hope of every person who lives in this dark world. There is absolute forgiveness. An intense forgiveness. A persistent forgiveness in and through the work of Jesus Christ, in him alone. This is his message of hope to the world, to you and me as sinners who live in this dark world. There is hope. There is a light along the path, and that light is Jesus Christ, the Savior of humanity. Him and him alone. And his proof is, look, I have come to conquer sin, death, and hell itself. I have come into this darkened world to bring a piercing light which reveals death, but also reveals the light of life, who is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin, whose shed blood has forgiven you. He is life itself. He is that true light of the world. So this light has this, I guess, twofold consequence. One, when light comes into the world, it shows sin. And that's an ugly reality. It shows sin. It shows you, it's like a mirror, as it says in our catechetical study. Like a mirror. It shows you sin. It's going to do that. The Holy Spirit's going to show us sin. Not only our own personal sin, but our own church, our own community, it's going to show sin. Don't kid yourself. And that's uncomfortable for any of us. I don't know anybody here likes to have their sin revealed to them. Sins of pride and self-seeking. Sins of hate, animosity, greed. None of us like to see that. But it's a reality. That light also shows us the promise of forgiveness for sin. For each and every person. And as I said now, this is a persistent darkness. You see, the church is in a constant battle. It's not going to go away. We can't expect that just because I am a pastor, that my children are simply going to grow up in the faith because of who I am, because it's the church. The gospel must be preached from one generation to another. Constantly. Our neighbors must be reached with the gospel. And who's going to bring it to them? You. You see, you are the fishers of men. I know in our prayers today, it will say, have us have pastors who are fishers of men. Well, of course. But I got one line to put in the water. You, the people of God, are the fishers of men. It is by you that that light will shine in families, in neighborhoods, and in communities. You are that light. Now, look, as I said, not everyone is going to be welcoming this light at times. I'm telling you, be mean-spirited. To preach the truth in our homes, and in our own homes, in our own communities, in our own neighborhoods, it's going to be unsettling. People are not comfortable with light and darkness. But yet, we are called to do that. All of us, each and every one of us, to bring that word out beyond the walls of a church building. So, Epiphany, it's a season of light. It's a great opportunity for mission. My goodness, it's a great opportunity for mission that you and I, who again remember and recall light in the Gentile world, the preaching of the gospel, light into a dark world. That's you, and that's me. And let us all be lights in our homes, in our communities, friends, work, school. Let us be lights to all those who live in this world of darkness. Amen. And now, may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.